Welcome, RealitySteve.com listeners and readers. It has been a long time coming, but finally, we have nailed down the most talked about bachelorette in recent history. It is my pleasure to welcome in Miss Rosalind Papa, who is joining us right now on the phone. Rosalind, how are you?
Hey, Steve. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Anything interesting happening with you lately? What have you been up to? Anything going
Not
on
really.
In your life?
Yeah. Same old.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, Rosalind, there's...
I think I have a sex scandal thrown in there.
Yeah, exactly. We might have to talk about that a little bit tonight. There's been a lot that's been said about you on the internet and in magazines and talk shows. And the one thing I'm looking forward to doing in this interview is no one really knows anything about you. I mean, all the people know from you is the two episodes you were on, then the subsequent interviews online and the Women Tell All and these chopped up edited pieces on tabloid shows where we get a couple minutes of you. And
those are edited?
Yeah. Can you believe that?
I hope
this interview will give people a better look into things that happened and didn't happen on the show. Plus, get to know you a little better. So, you ready for this?
I'm ready.
About as ready
I'm
as
really
you can
glad
be.
To finally talk to you, by the way.
Well, thank you, and I know it's been a long time coming, and I'm glad that we were able to finally get this done. And obviously, we need to start off here as if you didn't have enough on your plate already, Rosalind. You know, not 10 minutes after you emailed me, the email that I had put up on the website today of you not being able to do the interview last night, and I really appreciate you even taking the time to email me and tell me that. Not 10 minutes after you sent that last night, however, there's a report on TMZ which says someone out there in the porn industry has a sex tape floating around, and you are in it. However, I need to make this known immediately. Today, Rosalind's agent called me because she knew the interview was happening tonight, and that she informed me that I am under no circumstances allowed to bring up the sex tape report. The topic is off limits until more information is found out about it. Your agent has released their statement regarding it, and that's that. I know the listeners are going to be upset. I'm sure it's going to fuel more speculation. But these are the rules. So I'm going to...
Well, let me just say about your readers that I've gotten a lot of Facebook messages from big fans of yours. And one thing that I do love about your site is I feel like your readers are people that want to know the truth. They're not, you know, Perez Hilton is fun and everything, and gossip is great. But your readers kind of want something more and have learned to expect something more. So, and I really appreciate all the Facebook messages I've gotten from people that are fans of your site. And so I just wanted to thank them, too, for all their support. And if I don't get back to them, it's because I've just obviously been a little busy. But that's one thing that I love about your site is that, you know, you're not just gossipy. I mean, you're fun, you're funny, you get the news out there. But, you know, you care about the truth, and your readers seem to as well. So I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you. And when you say my readers, you got to cut that off about halfway through, because half of them don't believe anything, and half of them are with me. And that's all I try to do is, look, I'm going to present both sides. I'm going to give you an opportunity to talk, because basically up to this point, Rosalind, you know, ever since you've been booted off the show, outside of the Women Tell All, it's, you know, a couple sentences here and there on internet sites. It's, you know, you're on the Insider, and we get these edited, you know, chopped up answers. I mean, we're going to talk here for probably a good 45 minutes or so, and people are going to hear the real you. And I think that's one of the reasons that people have come to me in the past, people like Wes Hayden and Megan Paris. And I think we've done well with that. But getting back to, you know, this sex tape story, I'm going to respect what your agent says and tells me, and we have to move on. I apologize to everybody. It's the agent's orders. We are not allowed to talk about this. This topic is completely off limits. So let's begin, you know, with the interview and just start off kind of from the beginning. Why did you even do the show in the first place? How did you even end up applying? And kind of when you did you know who Jake was, or did you know that Jake was The Bachelor when you applied?
You know, that's the funny thing is that nobody knows who The Bachelor is going into it. They said it could either be Kipton, Reed, or Jake. And so when all the girls sign up, nobody knows that who the Bachelor is going to be. So when people say, oh, I came here for Jake, it kind of cracks me up because, you know.
They didn't know.
Really, nobody knew it was going to be him. I did the show really because, you know, I'm a single mom and had just gone through a bad breakup, and life kind of hands you things that you don't expect. And I kind of woke up one morning and was like, I have to do something for myself. I've been kind of a stay-at-home mom for a long time. I mean, I work too, but part-time, and I've really devoted my life to my son, which is great. I have not one single regret, but I thought, you know, I should just do something fun, you know, and that was sort of the intention. And if I found somebody that I cared for along the way, that would have been great.
Were you a fan of the show before you had ever come on it? Did you ever watch it? Did you, when you got involved with, hey, I'm going to go on The Bachelor, did you have any idea about the manipulation and the editing and this bogus contract that you have to sign as contestants?
You know, I'd never actually seen the show. I YouTubed it when I started thinking about doing it, and that was my only experience with it. That and kind of what you read in gossip magazines, and I had no idea what to expect. None. And you sign contracts, which are crazy. I'm sure you've gotten your hands on them before, but they basically say, you know, we can cause you social ridicule, we can defame you, we can exacerbate mental illness. They basically do anything they want to you. And when you sign it, you're kind of like, you know what, as long as I don't do anything stupid, I'll be okay. You know, you feel like you have control over it, and you really don't. You have no control over it, clearly.
Yeah. You know, one of the criticisms, and you mentioned it, that you're, you know, a single mother. And, you know, one of the criticisms that you got this year was people seem to think that if you were really looking out for your son, you wouldn't have gone on the show in the first place. What do you say to stuff like that?
I can kind of see where they're coming from. The truth is that from the very beginning, when I was talking to the people in casting, which is the beginning of the process, I had said, I have a son, and I had hours and hours of conversations with people in casting about this, and I said, my son is my first priority. I need to make sure I can talk to him every single day, and I can't go but so long without seeing him. Like, he needs to be flown out here, which they totally agreed to. And, you know, some of the people in casting were mothers themselves and said, oh, we completely understand, no problem. And it didn't seem to be, you know, I figured if it got too bad, I can always leave. And that's what they kept telling me. So I just kind of figured I'd go with it and see how it went. But
so we're looking.
I'm not saying that was the best decision, but that was what it, you know, what felt right at the time.
So the biggest, obviously, scandal this season involved you and a producer by the name of Ryan Callahan, whose name was obviously leaked. If you don't know it by now, then you've been basically hiding under a rock for the last month or so. You stated on the show that the first time you met Ryan was when he came to your hometown to shoot your opening video that was shown on the very first episode. One magazine reported after that he stayed there the whole week in Virginia with you. Is that true?
I did hear that. No, it's not true at all. In fact, what happens is I'm in Richmond, Virginia, and so he flew in from L.A., and they got a camera crew from D.C., and they drove in for the day, and we shot maybe from, I was supposed to be there at 8:30. I got there a little closer to 9. I'm not the most punctual person. So from a little before 9 until maybe 5 o'clock in the evening, we shot, all of us. And it started off with the photo shoot that you see. I had wanted to, you know, they did this package, and they said, you know, we want to shoot a normal day in your life, and I had requested that I kind of do the makeup artist thing, but they didn't think that was very exciting. So we went with the photo shoot, and we did that, and then I went and picked my son up from school, and we went and had ice cream, and they filmed us doing that, and we went and played football, and they filmed us doing that. And of course, they didn't use that because his dad didn't sign the release, which is fine. But then he left. You know, they went up to Northern Virginia, actually, and I think he actually ended up going out with Ashley Elmore that same night. So,
and doing her piece.
Even longer. No, he was only there for a matter of hours.
Okay.
But I did read that, which is kind of funny.
I'm going to ask this question point blank, and we're going to get right to the meat and bones and whatever you want to call it about this whole thing. At any point before you came on the show, while you were on the show, or since the show has stopped filming, did you ever have sex with? Did you ever make out with? Did you ever have any sort of romantic physical relationship with Ryan?
No, I did not. There were certainly friendly hugs and stuff like that, but, you know, the truth is, if I met you right now, I'm sure I would give you a hug and kiss on the cheek, and it's not because I want to make out with you. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but,
yeah.
You know, it's just, it's absurd.
Could you have possibly ever been drunk enough to the point where you didn't remember anything happening with Ryan?
No. Certainly not. There is a incredible amount of alcohol flowing in the house. Even from the very start, when you do casting, the first thing they do is offer you a drink, loosen you up.
Yeah.
So it's not that there's a shortage of that, but like I said, I knew from the very beginning, or I thought from the very beginning, that as long as I didn't do anything stupid, they couldn't air anything bad about me. I wouldn't look bad. So I definitely went into that knowing that it was a bad idea to drink too much or put myself in a bad position. So, no.
Could there ever have been an instance where Ryan attempted something physical towards you, one of the other girls in the house catches the tail end of it, and then jump to a conclusion from there?
No, definitely not. In fact, I rarely saw Ryan during during shooting. They have a story room in the house. I think they have several rooms in the house that are blocked off from cast members. And it's basically just a room full of producers and editors that go see what's going on in the house. There's cameras everywhere. So they're checking that out, figuring out what girls they want to go where, what they want them to talk about, and what the storyline should be.
for each girl. Like I've heard this before, and somebody actually, a former contestant from past seasons, I think he was on Meredith's season of The Bachelorette. She was Bachelorette number 2. He went on a radio show, and I actually listened to it online. This guy admitted, hey, I walked into one of the storyboard rooms one time, and it's every girl's headshot and this, like, timeline for each girl written out, you know, where they went on their date, which date they're going on, you know. So basically you're just confirming what that guy has said, that there's stuff written out in advance for each girl.
I did not walk into one of those story rooms, but I did see a paper that was my storyline on it that had my name at the top and kind of went over. It's funny because before I went on the show, I talked to one of the female producers and they asked you all these questions. And one of them was like, you know, what do you dislike about yourself? And I said something about my skinny legs. And so for some reason on this storyline, on this sheet of paper, it said, you know, Rosalind Papa and, you know, she's a mom to a 7-year-old boy, dislikes her skinny legs. It's like in bold letters for some reason. And then it also said, this season's Wes, ? And that was before anything had even happened.
Wow.
So, yeah. So that was, I mean, pretty sure that was already planned to some degree.
Okay. So the physical contact that you had with Ryan in the house was nothing more than playful hugging. You know, hugging somebody when you see
him. I don't even know if I'd go as far as playful hugging, but yeah, it was nothing. There was nothing sexual.
Actually, I don't even know what playful hugging means. I don't know where that came from.
I don't know either. I'm trying to imagine that.
Did he ever
get something out of an Elton John video or something?
Did he ever give you a massage?
No,
okay.
He did not give me a massage. It's so funny because this whole massage thing has been sort of a big story, and that was something that took place in the house. And we're supposed to be friends with these producers. You know, Ryan was in the story room a lot. And so he wasn't even out there, but the whole point of producers is to become your best friend and to get you to open up and convince you to do things. And that's the point. That's what their job is. So yeah, there was lots of flirtation going on. I don't think that anybody got as close as Ryan and I did, but,
What do you mean by that? When you say, I know not in a physical way, but what do you mean by that when you say, I don't think anyone in the house got as close as Ryan and I did?
You know, because the other producers and Ryan, they were doing their job and they were getting to know the girls, but in a manipulative sort of way. And I think that Ryan was sort of honest with me about a lot of things.
Oh, okay.
That was sort of what formed our friendship from the very beginning. He was always there. I thought, anyway, I think he was always very honest with me.
And, you know, people have said that you're a very flirtatious person by nature, which is funny because I've heard from past contestants that Ryan is equally flirtatious with the ladies. So with that said, is it safe to say that the extent of your relationship with Ryan was kind of good-natured flirting? Like you just kind of played along with it?
I would say we are definitely both flirtatious. Ryan is a pretty funny guy and I think loves to make girls laugh, and that's kind of his shtick. And I am flirtatious, and not necessarily in a bad way, I don't think. But even with Ella, you know, it was her birthday, and we all wrote down things that we were going to do for her birthday, since obviously we have no access to the outside world. We couldn't very well go buy her a present. So some of the girls were like, oh, you know, a foot rub or a pedicure or a head rub, and mine was, you know, an hour of spooning. And obviously, I'm not trying to have a sexual relationship with Ella. Like, it's just, you know,
yeah.
I tease and I joke, and it's not just with men. It's, you know, with women as well. I just, you know, I'm a little bit silly, but it's not in any, I don't think, in any bad way.
Who were you closest with in the house in terms of the females, in terms of the girls?
Felicia was definitely the person that I bonded with the most. She's a mom as well, single mom, and has been through a lot. And I have a lot of respect for her. So she and I were definitely the closest. Corey was really sweet as well. I have a lot of respect for her. And aside from that, you're not there really long enough to form a friendship with so many people. But I would definitely say Felicia was the closest.
And in particular, you weren't there very long. I mean, your whole experience from the time you got to LA till the time that you left, what were you there? Based on what I know, what, like 9-10 days total? And four of those were before the show even started filming? Three or four?
You're there and you kind of just have wardrobe people coming through and producers, and it's just all these pre-interviews. You go down to this other room and do a lot of these interviews beforehand. And then, there's the first rose ceremony, which is obviously where Felicia and I met. And we were roommates, and we were on that date together, and we had a blast. So the girls that were on the date with me were the girls that I was with the most, and that was still only a few days.
So did any of the girls at any point during your time on the show come up to you and say, you know, Rosalind, we've noticed you're getting a little close with that Ryan guy. You might want to back off. Like they all claim to say at the Women Tell All, where it was so obvious that it made them uncomfortable. Did any of them approach you while you were on the show and say, this is making us uncomfortable. You guys are way too flirty.
Nope. Not once. Nothing. Not a word. Not a weird look. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. In fact, when I was told that the girls had said something, I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it at all. Because nobody had ever said anything to me. There was incident in the house. There was absolutely nothing. And that's why I think everybody was so shocked. I mean, if somebody did say something to the producers, I think it was more in a way of, hey, she got the first rose. Is it just because she was flirtatious with Ryan? Or something to that effect. And then it just got blown out of proportion.
Yeah. At any point, did Ryan stress to you that he had an interest in you that was more than just producer, contestant? Did he tell you that he had feelings for you?
Not to such a degree. We certainly had, you know, talked a lot, but we were there with other people, you know, other producers, other girls. It's not like there were a lot of super intimate moments between he and I, you know. It's not like we were completely by ourselves. But there were times that he implied that he felt like he couldn't really do his job.
He felt like he couldn't produce you anymore because he started to like you, I guess.
Right, and there was a moment actually that I think he realized it, because it was after the girls had all started telling me that they were trying to make it look like I was hiding my son, and we were doing an interview. You know, you have a camera guy and a sound guy, and he was the one interviewing me from behind the camera, and he said something like, well, why aren't you telling Jake about your son? And it was this moment where I was like, don't you dare produce me like those other producers. You know?
Yeah.
Like, we're friends. Like, I was really appalled that he did that, and he felt bad about it. I think that was the first moment that he thought, you know, maybe I can't do this.
Yeah.
You know, he felt bad about it.
Did he?
He's a human being, you know?
Yeah. Did he ever ask you out? Did he ever want to ask you out?
No, we never really talked about anything
along
beyond
those lines.
The show. Yeah. I mean, obviously he didn't know he was leaving, I don't think, and I didn't know I was leaving.
Were you ever at any point physically, romantically attracted to Ryan and wanted something to happen between you guys, but maybe decided against it because you thought, well, this would look bad for the show?
I mean, physically, no, nothing. There was nothing like that when I was there. And I certainly was not concerned about this is going to look bad for the show.
Yeah.
But, I don't want to make the show look bad. No, there wasn't. I mean, there was no awkwardness like that. It mm-hmm. wasn't, it never really came to that.
So what is your actual relationship with Ryan right now? What's your guys' status right now?
You know, we've been friends throughout all of this. But he's in a really tough position. I mean, his career is in Hollywood. He works for a production company that works for ABC, which is Disney and Warner Brothers and all these huge corporations. He's in a tough spot where if he pisses a big gorilla off, you know, who's he going to work for? What's he going to do with his life? Like, those are the people that hang a career over his head. So lately it's been a little more difficult, and I have to step back and just respect the fact that he needs to work on his life and his career. And, you know, so it's been less of a friendly relationship as of the last couple weeks. He's had a lot of pressure on him, and I understand that.
And Chris Harrison mentioned on the Women Tell All, well, with his leading questions to you, he mentioned that Ryan and his dad had visited you in Virginia, and you realize how that looks to the casual viewer out there. I'm sure this producer she allegedly had an affair with comes to visit her in Virginia, even though he lives in LA. So you're saying, well, explain that visit. What was that visit all about?
After he was released from the show, and after I was released from the show, we were told not to speak, actually. The lawyer said, you know, we don't want you guys talking. But after you go through something like that, you know, what am I doing? Not, I mean, he was there for me. He was the only person that was there for me when I, you know, had all this stuff going on with my son on the show and everything. And so I'm not just going to ignore a friend. So I actually ended up calling him afterward, and he had apparently flown back to his hometown, which is here on the East Coast. His mom had passed away last year, and so he was spending some time with his family and his dad, who, of course, is, you know, adjusting to life without his mom and everything. And they went on a little man trip, and
yeah.
They came down, and, you know, Ryan never once came to my apartment or anything like that.
Yeah, and it's just so funny how Chris made that. You know, the way he said it on television was it was almost like, great, Chris. Ryan and his dad visited Brosnan. That means, you know, weddings in the future? I mean, it wasn't even so dumb.
Oh, it is. And it's all just in how you say it and how they edit the audience to be like, ooh, what?
Yeah.
And so, you know, you do that enough and, you know, people watching the show, you put these things together. And they're not stupid over there at ABC. You know, they've been doing this for years. They understand how to manipulate an audience, and they understand the right things to say. And Chris, you know, of course, has a little earpiece in his ear. It's not just him and I, he and I having a conversation. It's me having a conversation with Chris Harrison and all of the producers and editors backstage.
Yeah, they're all hitting him in his ear with what to say to him. Yeah. So basically, nothing happened, obviously, physically or romantically, you know, when Chris came to, or when Ryan came to visit you with his dad in
Right.
In Virginia.
Came up with a different story.
Yeah. And, you know, you know,
I'm just kidding before it gets all worked out.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
You know, what's funny is that, you know, you're kind of looking at it and just judging by your answer and just hearing you talk about it, it just seems like for two people who were in a situation where, He gets fired from a show. You get booted off a show. You guys kind of bonded over the fact that we just really got screwed over this. Something just major just happened. And it seems like your friendship really, I mean, you obviously had established a little bit of a friendship before that, but after that happened, it became, well, you're the only one I can confide in because you were the one who experienced it with me. It seems like that
sure,
was more
and
what happened.
Our contract says, I mean, he signs a crazy contract too. Like, basically, ABC has him by the balls, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if I can say that on the radio. But,
yeah, you can.
You know.
This isn't the radio. This is my podcast. We can say whatever we want.
Yeah, well, whatever. Yeah, I don't want to be obscene. Might be small children.
Yeah.
So he signed a really crazy contract as well. We both did. And it says that we're not supposed to talk about it with anybody else. And so all we really had was each other to talk about it with.
Okay.
You know? And he was somebody that I really did grow to care about. And people can try to turn that into something sexual, can do whatever, you know, they can read into that however they want, but the truth is he was just somebody that I cared about, and he was, we were like that before we had even met, you know, we were talking, he was my producer, and we would talk about stuff, and, you know, of course there's nothing sexual going on over the phone, you know, and that time that he came to Richmond, that's the first time I ever met him.
Yeah.
It's not like we had some long-standing relationship before that.
Yeah. And you know, let's make this perfectly clear. When you filmed the show was roughly October. Everyone seems to think after all this stuff broke after the fact with Ryan and stuff like that, like, oh my God, she messed around with a married man. What a homewrecker. Ryan got divorced in what, like March or May of 09?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, he was not married when he did the show. Let's make that perfectly clear. Not that it would have mattered because nothing happened between you guys. But Ryan was not a married man. You did not break up his marriage. His marriage was long over
before. People just get carried away with stories. You know, you pick up the scent of something and you spread it like wildfire.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. There was a rumor that my son was a special needs child, which is, you know, if he were, that's my business, and it's probably not something that should be broadcast anyway, but he's not. But the point is that one person put that somewhere in the comment section of a blog, and all of a sudden, it was everywhere. You know, people just have to read it in one little tiny place, and it blows up.
Yeah.
So this whole thing with him being married, you know, yes, he was married, but not then, and it wouldn't have mattered anyway. So,
yeah, he got once the stuff started coming out about his divorce, all you had to do was go online and see the divorce decree and the divorce papers. He was, I think it was either March or May of 09, and you guys didn't start filming till October. So his marriage was long over. So let's move on from that. Let's go to the show. And this is the good stuff. I want you to take us back to the day that you were kicked off the show. The night before or two nights before, you had given a rose, so you were safe for that rose ceremony. And starting that morning, kind of take us through the course of events. Now, through my sources and what I had reported on my website, was I was told that a couple hours before you had that infamous conversation with Chris where he kicked you off the show, you were being told by the other girls that the producers were asking them questions during their ITMs, their in-the-moments. Like, what do you think about Roslyn not telling Jake about her son? So one of these girls reports it to you. You absolutely flip out on the show. You went off and basically kind of, I guess, ranting and raving about, you guys are screwing me. Something's not right here. I want off the show. And then, boom, 2 hours later, Chris pulls you aside. It's the conversation we all saw. And you guys had that talk. Is that true?
Actually, it was several girls that came and told me that. Several girls confirmed it and said, you know, the producer has asked us to basically talk about you hiding your son, and which is absolutely not true, and they knew that. I had pictures there that I would show them. He made me this little card before I left with all these little cute little pictures that he drew and stickers and stuff, and I, you know, bragged about him all the time. And, in fact, I had he sleeps with this doll every night, this ugly doll is what it's called, and he actually gave it to me to bring with me on the show, and when I'm leaving the show, after they've given me the boot and I'm packing up, you can actually see him on my bed. He's that cute little orange guy, and so I want to give a little shout-out to Ugly Doll, because Aiden, of course, was not allowed to watch the show and never got to see that, but the point is, you know, I bragged about him all the time.
Yeah.
So the girls all knew about it, and I'm sure heard the stuff from the producers and wanted to warn me about it. But yeah, I did have a little fit and sort of threatened to go to the press with it if they did that. And I will say that at least they respect. Well, I don't know if they respected that or just had a bigger story to tell. Excuse me. But you know, they didn't run with me hiding my son, but that was the plan. And I did absolutely confront them about that. I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm a little bit outspoken.
Yeah, just a little. The question that I've probably gotten the most from viewers regarding Chris telling you to leave, and you know, let's talk about it right now, was why did you not react more upset when Chris was telling you about the inappropriate relationship?
I've heard a lot of people with criticism about that. And the truth is, when Chris confronted me, I had no reason to think that he was implying anything sexual. In fact, he wasn't implying anything sexual or romantic. That was not his implication at the time. And he even said, you know, you're having an inappropriate relationship in the context of this show. Like, you know, at the time, he was like, I want to be clear that, you know, it's just in the context of this show, you know, with a staff member, and we have to ask you to leave, or whatever it was that he said. But there was nothing for me to outwardly deny. And the truth is, you know, I might have looked like, you know, a deer in the headlights because, you know, people say, well, if nothing happened, why would they make this up? Well, something did happen. It just wasn't a romantic or sexual thing. It was, you know.
He had given you his phone for you to call Aiden, your son.
Yeah, but it wasn't just that. I think it was a combination of that and the fact that he, you know, I brought these cards, these little I miss you cards for him. And I gave them to somebody else to send out, and they're like, no, you're not allowed to do that. Well, I gave it to him and, you know, had it stamped already. Actually, no, you know what? I didn't have it stamped. He even stamped it for me. And he took that and sent it out for me, and I'm sure that, you know, they were pissed about the fact that he was, you know, if they had found out that he was telling me these things. And so I was sort of stuck in this moment of like, oh, my God, did I get this guy in trouble? You know, the poor guy was doing the right thing, and he got in trouble for it. And then it was a combination of that and not, what was I going to deny? He didn't give me anything to deny. It wasn't until after the fact, after lots of, like, careful, conferences with psychologists and lawyers and all these people to make sure that they could get away with saying that I was having this romantic affair, that they decided to do it. So I didn't know that it was going to go in that direction, basically, until the viewers did, when they started promoing that that clip where Ashley, I think it's Ashley Elmore, says she was having this sexual affair with someone in the Bachelor house. That was the first I had heard of it, and I was stunned just like everyone else.
So to be clear, you thought when he said inappropriate relationship, you never thought for a second he was insinuating an affair or romantic physical relationship with Ryan.
No, not at all. In fact, they have their lawyers, Warner Brothers lawyer, come meet you after every time there's a rose ceremony, or in this case, like after just getting kicked off, they have a lawyer come meet you and kind of remind you gently of your confidentiality agreement. And my issue with him was I said, if they make it look like I'm embarrassed of my son, you're going to have problems. Never occurred to me to worry about them implying that there was some sexual affair or romantic affair. It never even occurred to me to talk to him about that. It was all just, don't you dare make it look like I'm ashamed of my son.
But still, at that point, if, you know, you're there for Jake and you wanted to be on the show, why didn't you put up any sort of fight? Like, what inappropriate relationship? Why am I leaving? What did I do wrong? Or had you basically already checked out because you were so frustrated since 2 hours earlier you had flipped out on everybody? Did you just not want to be there anymore?
Yeah, at that point, for sure. And the thing is, I hadn't talked to Jake once that night. I didn't see him one time. It's not like I had this big, passionate connection with him. And at this point, I was so fed up with him being so conniving and calculated and manipulative that my thought, to be completely honest, was not on Jake. It was, you know, on what they were trying to do to me. And, you know, that's where that came from. I wasn't defensive, and I didn't freak out about wanting to stay there because, frankly, I didn't. You know, I didn't really want to be there anymore. And it's at this point, you know, I had missed my son. I wanted to go home and was kind of torn about being there anyway. And so, no, I didn't really have any reason to put up a big fit about it. It was just a weird moment. It was just like a complete ambush and just completely like, what just happened?
And I bet when they filmed it, that at that time, they didn't even know they were going to run with this sexual affair story. They probably just said, hey, let's just, you know, let's make it vague and we'll figure something out later, you know, because.
So I really don't think they had any idea what they were going to do with it. I really, truly don't think they did. And Chris Harrison said something about, oh, well, you know, this is just a big conspiracy theory. You know, it's crazy. And he made some stupid comment about his son making stories about unicorns and rainbows or whatever, trying to make it sound like I had, you know, put this all together in my head. It was this big conspiracy theory. I don't think that they had this plan from the beginning. I think it happened pretty organically. I think that, you know, it started off with my ex not signing the release and blossomed from there. And it's just, they took advantage of what they could. I don't think that it was planned from the beginning.
When you left to go out to do the show, your ex had not signed the paperwork. So you knew that Aiden was not going to be part of the show, correct? When you landed in LA. Or when you left Virginia to go to the show, did you or did you not know at that point? What was the status of your ex-husband?
He had talked to the people in casting and the producers and said, I don't feel comfortable signing this, which I respected. It wasn't a big deal, but they made it sound like it wasn't a big deal to them either. And so I wasn't 100% sure before I got there. But then when I landed there, I talked to my ex and he said that he was definitely not going to sign it. And he had talked to the people in casting and said that it just wasn't going to happen.
Okay. So once it was established that, okay, she is not going to have her son on camera, what were you allowed to do in terms of your son? This got brought up on the Women Tell All with, did you talk to him and what was the status? Like, why weren't you, how many times did you talk to Aiden?
I talked to him twice. One time was, before the show started technically filming.
Okay.
They let me talk to him. And then one time was, you know, Ryan let me use his phone. And it's interesting because one thing that they do edit out of the Women Tell All, you know, among many things, is when they ask Ella, you know, have you been able to talk to your son? She says yes. Or had you been able to talk to your son? She says yes. But then she elaborates and specifically says they only let me talk to him when they had a camera to, you know, to film me. And I believe Alicia said the same thing. So they, of course, don't air that part. Like, it's clear that they only let you talk to your child because they want to be able to use it for their TV show. You know, they only do it if there's a camera available. And otherwise, they're not really that concerned about it. They don't care if you talk to your kids.
So it was one of those things. And that actually did get aired on the Women Tell All. When you told Ella, hey, yeah, but, yeah, Ella, they let you talk to your son, but did your ex-husband sign a release form for your son to be shown on the show? And she said, obviously, well, yeah, because she had the one-on-one date, and you were saying no. So basically, because your ex did not sign it, they were not as willing as before when you told them, look, if I'm going to go on the show, I got to talk to my son a lot. And they're like, oh, yeah, 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 great, great, great. But then you get out there, he doesn't sign the paperwork. And at that point, they're like, well, great. You know, I don't care if she talks to her son or not. They were not as helpful as they were in the beginning. Is that accurate?
Yeah, and they try to make it seem like the scandal is completely independent of that whole thing. And it's not. They are connected. And it was this sort of spiral of events. But yeah, they weren't too concerned about.
The bottom line is the inappropriate relationship that they've been talking about on the show. And when it was on the show, all it was left at was inappropriate relationship. They never mentioned the word physical until after the show started airing and people started doing interviews. On the show, it was you are being let go because of an inappropriate relationship. The reason it was inappropriate relationship was because Ryan was confiding in you things, helping you out, and basically kind of favoring you, and that's what you thought the inappropriate relationship was, and assuming that's what he thought it was.
Absolutely, yeah. I had no reason to think that they would take it anywhere else.
Okay.
No reason at all to think that. I was more concerned about the stuff that they were doing with my little boy, and it never crossed my mind. It really didn't.
Yeah. When you're out there with Chris, can you explain, for the reader's sake, I guess, can you explain what you meant when you said, my personal life isn't anyone's business? Do you remember what you said that in response to? I mean, I remember watching it.
I don't remember even what context that was said in. And it's hard for me to remember because it's so choppy when you see that. I mean, it's just like the same view of my face over and over and over again. And they're not clumsy with, well, they can be clumsy, but they're not that clumsy with their editing over there. And it doesn't really even make any sense, to be honest, the way that they edit it. It's like,
well, yeah, what I was going to say is when I was watching it, I was like, her answer seemed to come out of left field. Like it didn't answer the question that Chris seemed to have given you. It didn't make a lot of sense to me. And that's why I wanted to ask you about it.
Hey, what size shoe do you wear? My personal life isn't anyone's business. It was just a complete, like, they could have put anything together. It was kind of ridiculous. But I don't know what that was in reference to be honest.
I was going to say, what about when Chris asked you, I forget what Chris's question was, but your response was, doesn't everybody have relationships back home or something? You remember that, what you said? I should have written that down. I'm sorry about that. But you mentioned the word relationships in it and, you know, what does my relationship with other people have to do with this? Or something along those lines, right?
I don't remember what exactly I said. But again, it was one of those instances where I was like, this doesn't even make any sense.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of like thrown in there. And that's what people have to remember, is this is a super, super edited show. I mean, you figure in 3 days, there are, you know, 15 cameras going and, you know, 25 girls, and they're filming all this footage. I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of footage, but they whittle it down to 2 hours, less than 2 hours, because you've got commercials in between. So let's say an hour and 20 minutes, an hour and a half. You got to think about all the stuff that doesn't get shown and how crazy they can get with their editing. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah. No,
edited, and people have got to keep in mind that this is entertainment. This is not a documentary. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is on The Bachelor. This is not on, you know, the History Channel.
So
it's entertainment.
After Chris was done talking to you, did you, anybody that was around you as you're escorted away and up to your room to start packing, did you ask around any cameraman, producers, Martin Hilton? Did you ever ask, why am I leaving? What just happened? Did you ever ask anybody, or once again, were you just kind of checked out at that point? Like, you know what? I don't really care.
I was checked out, and I assumed that they were just fed up with my BS. I figured, you know, I had a big mouth. I think the words that they used were, I'm not producible. That's exactly what they said. They said, you know, you're not producible. And I just kind of figured, all right, well, I'm just not a good fit for the show. Obviously, they want me off, and frankly, I don't even know what I'm doing here anymore. And it's not worth it. I'm not going to say that I didn't want to be there, because I was having a great time, especially with the girls. I had so much fun with those girls, which is all the more reason that it was shocking, the accusations that came out the Women's Hall. But I had a great time with them, and I was having so much fun, but it wasn't worth the drama.
So you pack, you go up to your room, you leave the show. At that point, when you left the show and went home, and for the months leading up to when the show aired, you're thinking the reason you were kicked off the show was because of your attitude, the fit that you threw, and, you know, and that was essentially it. And because of, you know, the stuff that they said, that you weren't producible. So no one ever brought up the words to you, sexual affair, physical relationship, romantic involvement regarding you being dismissed from the show. They never brought it up.
And in fact, once I heard that promo, I called one of the producers that was still on the show that was supposed to sort of keep me up to date. And she said, no, we're not. It's not going to air like that. That's just what we use for the promo. Said, that's what we use to, like, lure people in. But that stuff never actually airs.
Yeah, no, they only made the whole season surround it.
I know, right? I know. But Chris Harrison was really embarrassed about it. So maybe we should stop talking about it.
Yeah, we'll get to Chris and his badgering of you on the witness stand in a little bit. So basically, you started with the first you ever heard of this sexual affair, you know, romantic relationship, physical relationship was when they started running the promos. And then you were just like, oh, my God, they are going to screw me.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So when
exactly.
it aired.
When that aired.
And you saw the promos and you realized, holy crap, this is where they're going with this storyline. Did you reach out to Ryan? And did you say, hey, are you hearing about this? Are you realize what they're going to do to us? Did you reach out to him
my
at that point?
Yeah, I did. And my understanding is that he called the executive producer, Martin Hilton, and left him a message and never heard back from him. My understanding is that he told them that it never was physical. That's what he told me anyway, that he explained to them that it wasn't physical and they had no right to air that. And I believe they told him, like, oh, it's not gonna look like that once they air the actual show.
Okay. I think another huge question in all of this, and probably one of our final things in terms of regarding Ryan, is why hasn't anyone been able to get an interview with him? Why hasn't he come out and either said, yes, this did happen, or no, this didn't? I mean, that's what people seem to be having the biggest problem with. If someone accuses you of something that you didn't do, you would go to any lengths to disprove it, which is what you've done since day one. I mean, Chris Harrison can keep talking about how, well, Rosalind is the one that keeps talking about it and bringing it up. We wanted to let it die. Well, of course you're bringing it up. You on a nationally televised show watched by 11 million people a week, they accused you of having sex with a staff member on the show, and you were ridiculed on Jimmy Kimmel. Perez Hilton's calling you a whore. Of course you are going to come out and deny it and talk to anybody who will listen and say it. Yeah. The problem people having is, why isn't Ryan saying anything?
Well, trust me, I've gone through this a million times, and I got to tell you that being the only one speaking out for myself, you know, that is actually involved in the situation is a lonely feeling, and it's been really hard. And I've had to really kind of look at it from his point of view. I mean, this is his career. This is his livelihood. He's worked on it, I think, for 10 seasons. And, you can't go up against those guys. You know, yeah. It's Warner Brothers. Like I said, it's ABC, it's Disney. These are not people that you want to mess with. And what it's kind of like me. Like, I'm a very small voice compared to these people. Yeah. It's going up. It's a losing battle. Like, me coming out, I knew that I could never, you know, win this per se. But I also knew that the truth had to come out and that I had to come out and defend myself. But these are the big dogs, you know. You can't fight them. And not everybody has the same attitude that I have. No, not everybody has the same, you know, will to go out there and, like, make sure the truth is known. He's not in a good position, and I have to try to really understand where he's coming from. And I sympathize with it.
Yeah.
You know, that's really hard situation that he's in. I mean, we can all say, like, oh, well, morally, you know, this is somebody that he cares about, and how dare he not come out and speak on your behalf. And, you know, people have said, you know, oh, it's disgusting that he would do that, even if it did happen. Like, you know, how could he do this to you? And I've certainly wrestled with those emotions, but I have to just kind of, you know, understand that not everybody feels the same way that I do about things, and he's in a much worse position than I am as far as, you know, his future. Maybe not much worse. I'm the one being accused, you know.
Yeah,
being ridiculed,
I mean,
for it, but he's in a tough spot, and I have to just, I can't speak for him. I just have to try to understand what's going on. And it hurts. It does. I'm human. It doesn't feel good.
It's definitely not helping your cause. I mean, even though he's not saying it's true, he's also not saying that it isn't. So it's definitely not helping your cause that he has been silent throughout this whole thing. You know, there is speculation being thrown out there now and in recent weeks that ABC has Ryan in their back pocket and they are paying him and kind of trying to convince him to go along with the story and just say, so they at least have one side of the story saying, by the way,
right.
You know, yeah, it did happen. and Ryan can come out and say that and get money for it. There are rumors that that's going around. Do you think that's a possibility?
Yeah, I certainly hope not. I mean, that's the thing is, I so badly want to have faith in people. Like, that's one of my biggest downfalls, is that I have a very strong loyalty to people, which, you know, doesn't usually end up helping me in the end. But I have a very strong loyalty to people, and I have a very strong faith in people that they'll do the right thing. And so I have to hope that that's not true.
Yeah.
You know, I have to hope that somebody wouldn't do something like that. But I can't say for sure.
You know, probably the second most asked question I've gotten behind, you know, why didn't you defend yourself when Chris was talking to you all season long. And the reason, I think the number one reason why people seem to doubt your story is that if nothing happened with Ryan, why would ABC go to the lengths to fire him? I mean, they're not going to fire him over nothing. And, you know, I've seen that contract, and it seems to be that, well, they can fire him because they know that he can't do anything in return.
No, and that's, you know, I am not allowed to give out my contract, I don't think, you know, like, yeah, send out copies of it. But I think if people read that contract, they would have a much better understanding of what's going on and why there are certain things that I haven't spoken about, or how they get away. People are like, well, if this weren't true, she could sue them for defamation. Well, no, actually, I can't. You know, that contract is insane. It specifically says they can defame you and basically do whatever they want to you. And Ryan signed basically the same contract.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wish I could have gone out there and sued them for defamation. And I'm not saying that that's not a possibility, but it's certainly unprecedented. They've never gone to this extreme before, and a lot of people, I think, would have a tendency to curl their tail between their legs and hide in a corner after something like this. So,
yeah,
it's an unusual case for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think that contract, I mean, I put a couple paragraphs on it from a contract that I had from 4 years ago, from one of, it landed in my inbox, and it was from 2006, and I put a couple paragraphs I think that were most pertinent on my blog earlier this season, where it just says it right there in bold print. We can intentionally or unintentionally misrepresent your character and defame you, cause you embarrassment, and you basically don't have any legal recourse. You cannot sue us back. I mean, by signing this and coming on this show, you are agreeing to essentially sign over your life. So if one thing you did wrong in this whole situation was you agreed to go on the show and you signed that contract. So, you know.
Oh, everything they do with absolute impunity. I mean, they don't have to take responsibility for anything that they do to other people, and you just have to take it. And people, you know, there of course is going to be the criticism of, well, she signed it. She read that before she went on the show. She signed it. She had the ability to say no. And
yeah.
Again, yes, that's true. And in retrospect, yeah, I wouldn't have signed it. You know, hindsight is 20/20. But you read this and you think, okay, well, as long as I just behave myself, what are they going to show?
Exactly.
You know, like, you really truly believe that you have more control over it than you do. And you go into this with a little more faith in people. You know, you're like, oh, this wouldn't happen. You know, never in a million years would you dream of this. Even if I had done something, even if, God forbid, I had, you know, slept with 7 producers on the stairs in the bachelor house. You know, I mean, okay, that's maybe a bit extreme, but
wow, Rosalind,
they would. I know, I'm an imaginary whore.
Yeah.
Sorry. But even if, you know, even if I had, like, just the lengths that they took this to, is, I think, really indicative of who this corporation is, and. It's supposed to be ABC Family, and I don't really see anything family about it.
Yeah, I think that, I want to ask you, did you, at any time during your interview process, did they ever ask you if you've seen the show?
Yeah.
And you told them, no, like, not really.
I mean, yeah, no, to be honest, we don't have any, we have a TV, but we don't have it hooked up. Like, we watch DVDs, and I know that's going to not resonate well with your readers because your blog is all about TV, but,
yeah.
you know, we get online and watch stuff, and Aiden and I play Wii games sometimes, watch movies together, but we don't have TV. And I told them that. And I even told them, they asked me how I felt about Jake. You know, they asked me how, you know, how I feel about Reed, Kipton, and Jake, and which one was my least favorite. And I said Jake, not because I had a personal problem with him, but he was the he's least likely to be my type. So they knew that going in.
Yeah, and that's what I wonder. Now, you mentioned the story earlier about the storyboard that said, you know, this season's Wes and stuff like that. And I'm just kind of putting two to two together here in my head. And it's almost like, you know, because last season the big deal was Wes, you know, and totally getting edited and manipulated. And now it happening to you this season. I wonder if they're just preying on the ignorant. And not calling you an ignorant person, but the fact that you'd never seen this show, obviously some light bulb went off in somebody's head like, you know what, she has no clue what we do to people on this show. She would be the easiest one to go after because they did it to Wes last season, and Wes was not a fan of the show. Wes is a country guy who drives around from town to town and performs music. He does not watch reality TV. He was clueless to what the extent that this show did, and I'm wondering if they just – that's who they go after to do these scandals and edit and manipulate the most is the people that don't have a clue of what this show is about. So that's my theory. I'm gonna stick with that one.
It's certainly a possibility. I don't think people realize how much goes into these shows. It's not just some pink camera with some guy behind it and a couple producers. I mean, behind the camera there are so many people. So many people, and there's so many editors and so many producers and so many people working on this show. It's not as simple as like, oh, let's start rolling and just see what happens. I mean, it's very, very calculated.
Yeah. Well, that covers a lot of, you know, I think people got a good idea of what really went on. Let's move on to the Women Tell All. I think the biggest question surrounding the Women Tell All, and the one that I've been asked the most and got to ask you, why in the hell did you do it?
Up until a few days prior to that, had no intention of doing the Women Tell All. Like, I really thought they would have to drag me there kicking and screaming. What ended up happening was, I got a lawyer during all of this because I had considered a defamation suit and, you know, so I'm kind of, you know, dealing with that. But apparently in the contract it says you cannot do anything in the entertainment industry for a year. And they have the option to pay you $10,000 to make it so you can't do anything in the entertainment industry for an additional 6 months. So basically that's a year and a half where they were saying, like, you can't have a livelihood. Because that was my job before. You know, basically what they were saying is you can't work for a year.
You couldn't go back to your makeup artist part-time work? They wouldn't let you?
You know, I did the makeup artistry thing. It was really just the modeling thing. Anything where they use your image.
Oh, okay, the modeling stuff.
Yeah, and people, you know, you get offers to do shows or hosting things, and I was not allowed to do that because my contract says that everything had to go through ABC. And so the deal that was made was that I would be allowed to do a couple jobs in the entertainment industry doing hosting and stuff, and in exchange, I would do the Women Tell All. So it was certainly not something I was looking forward to, something that I had planned on steering away from at all costs, and it just ended up being, you know, I was kind of pushed into it and had to make that decision.
So basically they threatened you. They said, look, if you don't do the Women Tell All, we are not going to allow you to do modeling shoots. We're not going to allow you to do any opportunities that come up if people want to talk to you, which, you know, E! Online reported today about some potential work with you. We'll get to that a little bit later. But basically they said, look, you're not going to do any of that work unless you do the Women Tell All because we will stop it.
Yeah, not in such words, but basically, yeah. I mean, my lawyer talked to theirs, and that's basically what came out of this. And they even refused to say you can do any entertainment work. They weren't just like, we'll release you from this part of the contract. They basically just temporarily released me for part of the contract for a few select jobs. And they wouldn't even just say, yeah, you can do anything you want in the entertainment industry. They still have me under contract, and they still expect me to get permission from them to do anything.
Wow, nice people.
Yeah, they're really good people.
Yeah, so when you agreed to do the Women Tell All, did you have any idea it was going to play out like that in terms of being sequestered from all the other girls, like you were a prisoner on death row and...
Oh my gosh, I had no idea. That was so weird.
So, explain that day. Explain exactly what happened. I'm assuming you're put up at a hotel, and then all of a sudden you're driven over to the studio, and you're thinking this whole time, well, I'm going to be out there with all the other girls, and that didn't happen. Explain what did.
Yeah, they fly the girls in to do the Women Tell All. I was already going to be out there, and I did not choose to use one of their hotels for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Just paranoid now. So, yeah, they have, you know, a driver come pick you up. You go to the studio, and apparently the other girls shared a ride. Like, some of them would be, like, two to a car,
mm-hmm.
and then they all apparently, I'm not sure if they all saw each other backstage, but most of them interacted with at least, like, two or three of the other girls. And I only found this out later on. But I was brought in and just put in this room where they had somebody waiting outside the door. Like, I couldn't even go use the restroom without permission. It was so bizarre.
Jeez.
And then they had that,
you're a prisoner.
That guy that they show on TV. Yeah, it's a bizarre little world. And then they had that guy take me out onto the stage. And, I mean, I feel comfortable telling you this because they obviously didn't try to hide that fact that
yeah.
I was secluded. I mean, they show him bringing me out onto the stage. So I think they're not trying to hide the fact that they kept me away from everybody else. Yeah, so then I came out, and it was like everybody was already pissed off at me, which is bizarre for several reasons.
And when you were backstage, you weren't hearing what was going on the stage. Like, how many hours were you back there before you were brought out? How many, do you remember?
Probably 3 or 4.
You were back there by yourself for 3 or 4 hours with no television and not having any feed to what was going on out in the studio. You just had to sit there.
Not a clue. Now, they were nice enough to put some veggies and dip in there for me.
Wow, they really went. They really rolled out the red carpet service for you back there. Good God.
I know. Yeah, it was very bizarre.
So you're back there by yourself for 3 hours. They come out. They bring you out. And the first time you ever see anybody, Chris Harrison or any of the other 15 girls that were on stage, was when you walked out for that first time, which was what we saw. That was the first time you saw anybody.
Yep. First time.
Do you think the girls knew that you were there until you walked out?
I'm under the impression they did not. I'm under the impression that they did not think I was there, but I can't say with certainty. I'm not sure. That's a good question.
Okay, because in the first hour, Chris asked them, okay, girls, let's talk about Rosalind. And they talked about you, and obviously a lot of them had negative things to say, and you know, we'll get to Ella and Jesse's stuff in a second. But, yeah, they brought you up, and then it seemed like when they brought you out, the way they showed it on TV, they never made it seem like those girls knew you were there. They just made it seem like, hey, we talked about her, but boom, she's here, you know,
well,
by the way.
My theory and my thoughts on that is that they got the girls all worked up and got them to say things, thinking that they weren't going to have to say that to my face. So they say that, and then they can't take it back, you know? Once they're put on the spot, Chris Harrison is like, okay, you tell us about it.
Yeah.
You know, like, even though she's right here, you have to say it to her face. So that's my thought on that. And I'm really confused about that, too, because even if the girls really did believe all this stuff happened, what are they so angry about? Like, did I kill someone's puppy? I don't understand what they were so angry about.
Because you guys were friends in the house. Right. You said earlier, none of these girls had ever approached me about anything like, hey, back off, Ryan. We're feeling uncomfortable. You guys are really flirting too much. You need to tone that down. None of that ever happened in the house. Yet here they are on the Women Tell All saying, we all knew something was going on. This was ridiculous.
I know. You would have thought that I was making them really uncomfortable in the house. But nothing, I mean, there was nothing like that at all, ever.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm not sure why. I can't, you know, if you want to know why they said those things, I can't say for sure. I do know how persuasive they are. And I have heard from several of the girls that they felt a lot of pressure to say these things.
So let's talk about the three instances where the girls say they had specific details of what happened between you and Ryan. First off, Ella says that you were on all fours on the couch in your little girly shorts. Your ass was up in the air. And you said, if you see the producer, send him my way. I want to be put to bed. Now, first off, that's
first off, that's
just funny. Number one.
Yeah, nobody has. I don't think anybody has been like, "Oh my gosh, you really did that." Like everybody kind of sees her personality and is like, "All right, well, that's just ridiculous." And my sister called and said, "That is hilarious because I've known you my whole life and you wouldn't even do that in your personal life without other people there." Like it's just so. I mean, I don't even know what to say to that.
First off, what night is Ella claiming this happened? Or she wasn't even really specific, was she? What night is she even saying this?
I have absolutely no idea what night she's talking about. No idea.
So were you ever on all fours on that couch in tiny shorts asking Ryan to put you to bed?
No. No, I did not ever do that. Never. And I just think it's so funny because she says that and the other girls are just looking at her like nodding, but nobody says anything about it. I mean, I think they probably were like, well, she took this to a whole new level.
Now, of all the nights in the house, how many times did you not sleep in your room?
There was one night that I didn't sleep in my room.
And where did you sleep?
I was on the couch downstairs. They have that big room that they always film everything in.
Why did you sleep down there?
You know, it was the night that the girls went to Six Flags, and I was sitting there with a few of the producers, one of them being female, actually. And was talking to them, waiting for the girls to get back, and that's where I fell asleep. In fact, some of the producers have pictures of me on their phones that they took of me in the middle of the night, of me sitting there, like, drooling all over myself on the couch.
How sexy, Rosa.
So I know that they know I wasn't doing anything. And, in fact, this producer was not even at the house.
So Ryan wasn't even there that night in question?
No, he was not. And you know, like I said, it's his prerogative what he chooses to do with this. And I, like I said, I think loyalty is one of my biggest weaknesses. And people are looking, you know, there's a lot of answers that I could give to throw people under the bus. And I'm just, at this point, choosing not to do that. So
now I
will steer away from that.
Ella is stating now that the reason she waited for the show to tell that story, because in her post-show interview, she didn't tell that story. She said, "I never saw anything physical. I didn't notice anything out of the ordinary," was her exact quote. And I think being on all fours in your girly shorts with your ass in the air asking for... It's a little out of the ordinary, Ella. You might want to bring that up. But she's saying now that the reason she didn't say that in her post-show interview because that she didn't want you to see it in a tabloid and she wanted to say it to your face. Fair enough. So have you had any contact with Ella since the show ended, or no?
No, but I mean, if she had said it on her exit interview or any even right afterward, that's not the tabloid, that's the show. And the truth is she came onto the Women Tell All and said those things about me, not even knowing I was there. So her whole theory, her whole reason for saying this because she wanted to tell me to my face is completely shot. I mean, I don't want to bash anybody on the show. You know, I have to walk this fine line of defending myself and calling other people out. And it's not my personality to bash other people.
Yeah.
So, you know, I try to defend myself as gently as I can. But I think the truth is that people are smart enough to look at that, like the really ridiculous things, and see through it. You know?
Yeah. So she never tried to contact you before and said, "Hey, I'm gonna, just to give you a heads up, I'm going to tell that story about you on the couch," and never contacted you before and never contacted you afterwards to even apologize and say, "Sorry for throwing you under the bus like that on national television."
Never. Okay. Nothing. And I get lots of messages. I mean, I get Facebook messages every day. Like, I've got hundreds and hundreds, and some of them I've noticed have been like, "What is wrong with that girl? Like, she comes out there and says, I would never throw a single mother under the bus," or something like that. And like, what are you talking about? That's exactly what you're doing right now.
Yeah.
You know, and people are just really horrified by the actions of a lot of these people.
Yeah. Jesse was the next person. When she actually got her story straight up on stage, she says that she went inside, heard something on the stairwell, and saw you on top of Ryan making out. Now, obviously, I'm assuming this never happened based on everything we've heard for the first hour of this conversation. Any idea why Jesse would come up with a story like that? where she came up with that, why she said it?
I think that, and this is my speculation, and not I'm not going to say about Jesse specifically, but I think that a lot of people go on the show with the idea that big things will happen for them afterward. And, you know, you go on the show and you just don't get a rose and you leave quietly pretty much. And it's, I imagine that for some people it's really frustrating. And you have, you know, I think sometimes when you leave a reality show, you feel like, oh, I didn't make a big enough splash. And maybe that's the reason. I obviously can't say for her, but I can't think of any reason that anybody could ever get me to say those things about somebody.
Yeah.
I really can't.
Christina was another one who was kind of outspoken. She said that you guys were cuddling 24/7, which is funny because, which is funny because obviously she doesn't mean every minute of the day you were cuddling with Ryan, but that obviously means a lot, right? So yet Chris on stage says cameras aren't rolling 24/7, Rosin. We don't have everything caught on tape. But if this was so out there, and you guys were so brazen enough to be cuddling that much in front of everybody and making all the girls, or most of them, that uncomfortable, how is it not caught on tape? That's the one thing I go to every time. It's like, how is it not caught on tape? And go ahead, answer that, and I have something else.
It's crazy. It's completely ludicrous. I mean, I think that on... You know, the women's hall, people are like, oh, she looks guilty because she looks so astounded. It's like, no, I'm astounded because I am astounded. Like, I don't understand where this is coming from. It's not like, okay, I hope somebody doesn't say something about this thing that I did. And I know going into it that I've done something wrong and that people might call me out. This is completely off the wall. Never in a million years would have thought that they would have made this step up. And Christina's sort of an outspoken girl to begin with. And she's, you know... Her personality is just kind of funny and a little bit trash talking, but that's just how she is. And I really don't even know what to say to that. Obviously, that's not.
I think another really funny thing is, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, Ryan's a producer, so he's going to know where the cameras are at all times. Like he would be smart enough to avoid when, you know, he's knowing when filming is taking place. He'll know this. So he would know exactly where to take you to make out with you or have sex with you or whatever. But the funny thing is, you know, technically that would be true. He would know when all the cameras were rolling. If that were the case, then why would he make out with you on a stairwell? You know, it's not like guys were in a broom closet. It's not like Jesse said, I stumbled upon noises behind a closet. She said she saw you guys on a stairwell. I'm guessing if there was kissing on a stairwell, cameras would have caught that. I mean, let's be honest.
That's the thing is like these accusations about things that happen in the house are so ridiculous that I'm not even sure how to respond to them. I mean, yeah. People, I hope people don't read this as me just not caring or me thinking like, oh, I'll just get people to believe me. It's not that. It's just that it's very hard to repeatedly defend yourself against something that never happened.
Yeah.
I am human. You know what I mean? Like I do my laundry and, you know, wake up in the morning. I'm like, oh my God, I have this big zit in the middle of my forehead. Like I have these normal life experiences just like everybody else. But in addition, I have to constantly defend myself. And it's not like I'm defending myself against, you know, like I murdered somebody. You know, it's all just these silly, frivolous things. And I don't want to come across as indifferent or not caring what people think. It's not that I don't. It's just I have maybe a bit of a thicker skin now than I did when I started. And that sort of saves me but also might make me come across as a little – I don't think I come across as abrasive, but maybe nonchalant about it. Like, oh, why isn't she defending herself more? And people don't understand that I am, and I do it all the time. And it's just like, oh my gosh,
your story hasn't changed since day one, Rosalyn. You've said, you've denied it since it first came out. Yet the other girls' stories are the ones that changed it. You have said since day one, this is why. Now, granted, tonight, I think in this interview, it's becoming a lot more, it's a little more detailed of, you know, the stuff behind Aiden's story, your flip out in the kitchen, you know, the ABC telling you, you know, you're just not that, you know, you weren't that producible. Like, that stuff, I think, is a little more, holds a lot more weight now. And I think that, and that's the stuff I kind of wanted to get into and kind of show, basically, you know, you're looking at it in a situation where you can only say nothing happened so many times. I mean, how many times you got to say it for people to believe you? And to this day, no matter all the times you've said it in the last 2 months, people still hate you and still don't believe you. So,
know.
You know, you're not going to please everybody. I get it, but it's got to be, I understand where it's got to be, you know, frustrating. I want to also move on and talk about, we kind of touched on it earlier, but the demeanor of the producers and the other girls, during the downtime or when cameras aren't rolling. You know, I've spoken to numerous contestants in past seasons from The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, and all of them have said that the guy producers are kind of horn dogs and hit on the women. And in The Bachelorette season, there's plenty of flirting going on with female crew members and the guys. And I've even heard names of Pete and Elon. I don't know their last names, but two guys by the names of Pete and Elon who are production guys are known for their back massages with the girls. Did you see any of that going on?
Oh, Lord. I think it's just so funny to hear this stuff come from somebody else, because it's like things that I've seen that I feel like I have to keep to myself because I'm under all these contracts and it's,
yeah,
you know, crazy, but it's almost a relief to hear that come from somebody else and know that it's not just me that saw these things. So
girls, so basically what you're saying, girls in the house get back rubs and massages by people all the time. And it happens. It's a friendly atmosphere because they're kind of, you know, whatever, for lack of a better phrase, buttering you up to, you know, make you confide in them so they can take your answers and turn it right back around and try and screw you. Not physically screw you,
absolutely,
but try and screw your character over. Okay. That makes sense.
And yeah, I mean, and the girls, like, would rub other girls' backs. It was never anything sexual. As far as I know, nothing with me was ever sexual. I mean, I have heard some amazing stories about things that go on behind the scenes that I am obviously prohibited to talk about. But
yeah.
I mean, if people only knew the crazy stuff that goes, this incestual stuff that goes on that show, I mean, it's unreal.
Not to mention the fact, and I know this, and I don't know if you know this, but there is a producer on the show by the name of Jason Ehrlich who is currently married to a woman that was on The Bachelorette Paris season. So you have within this Bachelor family, you have a former producer who got with a contestant and is now married to her, and they have a kid. His name is Jason Ehrlich, and her name is, oh gosh, I forgot her name. But anybody that's been on the show that knows Jason Ehrlich is aware that he is married to a former contestant. So for them to be all high and mighty that you may have kissed a producer, it's kind of funny considering one of their producers hooked up with a former contestant. I heard their relationship started while she was still on the show. Can I confirm that? No. But, you know, 100%, I don't know that. But let's just face it. The bottom line is a current producer on that show by the name of Jason Ehrlich is married to a woman who was on The Bachelor Paris. So it wasn't Lorenzo. It was The Bachelor Paris with Travis, and I want to say, I want to say her name is Sharon, but I could be wrong. But yeah, so
yeah, he's actually the co-executive producer, and I have actually heard that. I don't know if that's like common knowledge among cast, or if it, I mean, obviously the other producers and the crew knows it.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, and the thing is, like, that stuff happens.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because I know things about previous seasons and they've never called anybody out for it. But, you know, the time that it does happen and there's never anything kinky going on in the Bachelor house, they turn it into a scandal.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that CC really needs to focus on how things are produced there. And I think they need to focus on sticking to being a family network because, I mean, like I said, with the whole Facebook thing or emails, I get hundreds, and people are just disgusted with that network. Like, just for how they exploit things and how they trash people, and just have no ounce of remorse. But yet, there's people that are doing it all the time, and aren't there's no repercussions. But of course, they had to really make a point. They took it very seriously this year. You know, oh well, this is very important to us, really, because when it really was happening the last few years, nobody did anything.
A couple final thoughts on the Women Tell All. Is there anything that you wish you said but you never did? Do you regret saying anything? A lot of people are like, I would never swear on my son's life. And
you
regret that comment?
I do want to say that. I regret the comment. It just kind of came out because I was so
frustrated
by Jesse's accusation. And she said, oh, I swear on my dog. And that's so important. And I was just like, what is wrong with this girl? And then I said, I swear on my son, and that I will never, ever make that mistake again. That was not, it was not a thought-out thing, and I should have thought before I said that. And it wasn't, there was no ill intention, obviously. I just was very serious about it and was very horrified that she would make this accusation. And so that's what came out, and I do regret saying that.
What about the comment about saying... A lot of people have said it was a low blow that you took it, Chris, even though you were pretty much backed up against the corner, that when Chris said, Ryan was a friend of ours, and you said, yeah, actually, Chris, apparently you weren't friends with Ryan. He didn't think you were very friendly when you were hitting on his wife back in New Zealand. Can you explain the origination of that comment? Where did that come from?
Obviously, I didn't just pull that out of thin air. That was something that I heard from somebody that was there. I definitely did not make that up. He's obviously, what is he going to say to that? And people say, it was a low blow, but he's been low blowing me for months now. And the one time I make any comment about him, it's like, he says, oh, that was so classless. If that was classless, what does he have to say about the comment where he said he was going to butcher me?
Yeah.
That to me, I was just repeating something
that you had heard. And obviously, I think I'm a pretty smart guy. I'm college educated. I could pretty much figure out that Ryan was the one that told you that Chris was hitting on his wife back in New Zealand. Cause how would you know? You weren't there. I mean, the only person, it's very obvious that Ryan was upset enough to a point that he confided in you at some time. Chris isn't what he's all made out to be. The guy was hitting on my wife back in New Zealand. Now, we don't need to get into details and what he told you, but it's obvious that Ryan told you that, and that's why you use it against Chris. It's not something that you just, like you said, just took out of thin air. Like, oh, I think you hit on his wife last year in New Zealand.
Right. Let me think of what I can concoct real quick and make a jab. And, Chris Harrison is just cast. He is paid by the show to, do what they say, and he's not a producer. He doesn't, it's not like he has some producer credits on the show. So I wasn't even really upset with him about this whole thing until he made this into this personal attack. And I was told by producers that that was done without the permission of ABC and that they have a problem with Chris Harrison saying things that he shouldn't. But this is not the first time he's, gone out there on his own accord and talked about things on the show that he wasn't supposed to.
Chris mentioned in a lot of interviews since the show has ended, I don't remember if it got brought up on the Women Tell All, he might have said it like in passing, but they didn't obviously harp on it. He has said in interviews that I've read online and seen videos of that Ryan has confessed numerous times to a physical relationship. Did you know anything about this? Was this ever brought up on the Women Tell All and they didn't show it, or has Ryan confessed to this?
Said that.
On the show.
I don't know why. Again, like I said, I cannot speak for him, and I can't put myself in his shoes completely because he's in a really tough position. I would hope that he would never kind of sell out and do something like that. I don't think he did, but I don't know. I don't know what those.
But Chris has no repercussions. Chris can say that. Chris can say in an interview, hey, this guy admitted to a physical relationship. But if he – and you can't go after Chris for slander like that because, once again, You're under contract. You can't do anything. They can. That's a way for them to embarrass you.
I'm a pedophile. They can say whatever they want about me with absolute impunity. They have no repercussions for anything that they say about me. And that's why I really encourage, like, one thing that I do hope people get out of this. I mean, it's not that, you know, a lot of people are going on reality shows, but if they do, I really hope that they will take that contract to a lawyer and negotiate the hell out of it.
Yeah.
Go through it and don't be afraid to say, I'm not going to do it if you don't take this out. Or, you know, I really hope that people learn from my mistakes, for sure.
Let's kind of make this a little bit more lighthearted. I think we've hit on pretty much everything possible that we could have. I've got a list of 5 questions here that are about you, Rosalind, the person that I think maybe people would be curious to know about. Question number 1. It's kind of like Craig Kilborn's 5 questions when he used to host the the late show or whatever it was. Tell me one thing about yourself that you think people would be surprised to hear.
Oh, gosh. That's a great question. I bite my nails. I'm not really sure. I'm trying to think of, I've lived with myself for 28 years, so I'm kind of used to everything that I do. But
yeah.
I have a little bit of a midnight eating problem. I get up every single night in the middle of the night and eat.
A full meal? Steak, potatoes, string beans?
You know, I'm not a big fan of cooking, but for some reason in the middle of the night, I will cook the hell out of some food.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
We're not talking midnight snack. We're not talking midnight Twinkie or something. You're making a meal at midnight.
I'm making meals. I'll make cookies and, you know, I don't know what's wrong with me. I've always been like that since I was a kid.
What would you say your worst habit is?
Probably that, because I always wake up the next day and see all the wrappers and stuff that I cooked and think, what was I doing?
What are you making? What are you making tonight? Do you know, or you
I'm
don't know
sure.
until you wake up?
Exactly. Just whatever hits me in the middle of the night. That's what I go for.
This has been brought up by a lot of people, so I figured I'd ask you: would you ever consider doing Playboy?
No. I would not do Playboy. I'm certainly not a prude, and I accept the fact that my public portrayal is one of sort of like a vixen. Like, I understand that, and that's okay. And in my personal life, you know, that's my personal life. I'm not a prude, but I'm not one to go out there and get drunk and dance on bars or... You know, I never did the spring break thing where I was doing body shots. Like, never did anything like that. And I would never go out and put my tatas in a magazine. No.
My poor child
would have to live with that forever. Not that I already don't have enough explaining to do.
Yeah. Would you go the route of Gia and do like a sexy, you've done plenty of modeling, but would you ever do like Maxim if they came to you?
I say no, but you never know. You never know what sort of theme they could come up with or what, you know.
You just wouldn't do nude is what you're saying. You know.
Right.
You've been
no nipple.
Yeah. No nipple and no hoo-ha. There you go.
No hoo-ha's, no nipples.
Gotcha. Have you been approached at all about being on the Bachelor pad?
I haven't. I'm not producible, apparently. So I don't know I think they acknowledge I'm not a great fit for that.
Would you ever do another reality show?
I've been approached about reality shows, actually, and it's not something that I'm opposed to. I don't want to do anything that involves dating. You know, I don't want to find love on TV. But that said, it's, you know, I don't really have anything to hide from the public. So would I do a reality show? Yeah, I'd probably do a reality show, depending on the premise and how the schedule was. Obviously, I've got to be in Richmond a lot of the time, and it would all depend. But I'm not opposed to it. I'm just opposed to anything Bachelor related.
Oh, okay. Are you at liberty to say what reality shows have contacted you, or are these like pilot reality shows?
There are a couple that I'm not allowed to say, and there are a couple pilots, and then there was one that the premise was me moving to LA and just kind of following me through that, and that, you know, that's great and all, but I can't, you know, I'm not moving moving to LA. I can certainly spend a lot of time there. But, you know, I don't want to miss my son's basketball games, and there has to be balance. And that's one of the things is, like, I'm a female, so people think that, you know, my career should not be a factor. But, you know, if I were a guy, if I had a penis, I think people would be like, wouldn't even think twice about it. But, you know, since I have hoo-ha, I have to figure out a way to balance that.
I never thought in a million years that hoo-ha would get mentioned two or three times in this interview, let alone the last 5 minutes.
It turned into a drinking game. Every time Steve says, or Robin says, hoo-ha, you know, it's
shot. All right. Speaking of your son, what is your favorite thing to do with Aiden besides spending hours making a Dalmatian costume for him?
Oh, goodness. By the way, I use a lot of, like, fabric glue for this Dalmatian costume I made for him last night, and I swear I lost about half my brain cells inhaling that stuff. But aside from that, he's all boy. He loves to wrestle. So we wrestle a lot and do pillow fights and tickle each other all the time. I mean, just that's the best thing in the world. I'm exhausted by the end of the night, and, you know, I'm certainly taking up the role of mom and dad when he's with me and not with his father. So it's a lot of energy, but that's my favorite thing, because those are things that it's not going to be cool when he's 13 and I try to have a tickle fight with him. You know what I mean? That'd just be weird. So I'm really trying to enjoy this while he's still young enough to think I'm cool.
Now, in terms of this show, what does Aiden know about this whole situation? Have kids started saying stuff to him at school? Not that they watch, because he's only 7, but maybe they heard it from their parents and stuff like that. Anything along those lines where he has actually asked you questions about it? Does he know what's going on with mommy and why she's on TV and why she's showing up on these shows?
Well, fortunately, I had been in magazines and stuff and, like, a couple commercials before this, so that to him is not a huge deal. He was kind of used to that. And then he's at an age where he's pretty sheltered from it, but he did apparently hear somewhere Jake saying, I cheated on him. So he wanted to know why mommy cheated, and he doesn't understand what context that was in, and kind of had to explain to him, you know, the whole thing with TV, and that was a very awkward conversation. And, you know, it certainly was like a stab in the heart to hear that. That was something that was really, really hard to talk about and to hear come out of his mouth. But overall, he doesn't get it, and I'm just mom, and we do the same stuff that we used to do. It's been very, you know, Richmond's a pretty small city, so it's been pretty normal. I mean, I've been fortunate enough where it's, you know, we're still able to go out and just have a good time like we used to.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, hopefully that won't change with all the tumultuous stuff going on.
I wanted to read an email to you that I got today because, you know, the email you sent me last night when you apologized for not being able to do the interview last night and saying that you were up all night helping Aiden with his costume. Obviously, you know, I get plenty of hate mail towards you. It's probably 50-50. Some people say, wow, I hope she stays strong. I love the way she stuck up for herself with the Women Tell All. And then there are some people that you bring out the absolute worst hatred that any person could have for another person that they've never met in their life. I mean, these people literally, they hate you so much, and you are a despicable person and blah, blah, blah. So someone sent me an email this morning, and I'll even say her name is Jennifer. Let's just go with that. I'm not going to give out her email address or anything, but her name is Jennifer. She read my blog post this morning, read your email to me, and and this is what she said in the email. And this, sorry, Jennifer, for picking on you, but this was one of the most asinine emails I'd ever received regarding you or this whole situation. So you said in your email that, you know, you were up helping Aiden with his costume. And she wrote, after the first couple paragraphs where she tells me, Steve, don't fall for Rosalind's tricks. She's a liar. She's very good at lying. I can tell she's one of these very sketchy people who's always gotten things her way, and she knows how to manipulate people. So that was the first three paragraphs of it. Here was the meat.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. That long?
Yeah. Here was the meat and potatoes of it. She says, quote, most obviously, Rosalind sends this email at 9:50 p.m., so clearly she has not been up all night sewing anything. She could have honored her commitment with you to do the interview and then been up all night sewing his costume. Second, is it possible Rosalind was sewing a costume for her son? Yes. Is it probable? No. I am a good mom, and I know many other loving, dedicated parents. How many do I know that would hand make a costume for a 100th day school celebration? None. Seriously, what do the real parents of the world do? Well, we run around the house at the last minute and try to find anything with a black and white polka dot theme, or we grab a storybook, or we have somewhere in the house to try and put together something that looks like it works with the story, or maybe we run out to Walmart and buy a 101 Dalmatians t-shirt for them to wear the next day. Do we hand sew costumes? No. I also think about Rosalind, a mom who would leave her child for several weeks to film a reality TV show, just doesn't jive with the mom who stays up all night to hand sew a costume.
First of all, I would like to make a confession, and that is that I do not, in fact, sew. So,
yeah.
I'm not sure where she got that from.
Well, exactly.
I never said the word sewing.
I go back and look at the email, and I'm like, at no point in Rosalind's email that is sitting right there on my blog on today's yesterday's post, once people are listening to this and go back, it's sitting right there, the email that you sent me. I didn't edit it. I just copy and pasted it, other than blacking out your email address, because I didn't want you to get bombarded. But essentially, okay, it's right there. At no point in that email do you mention the word I was up sewing for 2 hours for my son's costume. And then yet, she is like the fifth person today that mentioned there's no way that Rosalind was sewing a costume for her son that late. And I'm just,
isn't
like,
it amazing how hateful people are? They will find any reason to dislike me. It is the most amazing. It's crazy. I'm not sure why people. I just think there's a lot of angry people out there, you know? And,
well, just the fact that she was telling you, she's essentially telling you that you should be making time for me when she doesn't even know you, and she's telling you your schedule and how you should work me into your schedule. The funny thing is, she says, most obviously, Steve, she sends this email at 9:50 p.m. because on the timestamp on the email, it said 9:50 p.m. Well, actually, when I opened up that Yahoo account, it was when I was living in California, and I've never changed this timestamp. So technically, Jennifer, that was 9:50 p.m. That 9:50 p.m. you saw on the email, that was actually Pacific time. I'm on Central time, which is 11:50 p.m. So, Rosalind, when you sent that to me last night, it was 12:50 a.m. So, so technically,
people, it's so funny. People are like little detectives. Like, suddenly everybody's matlocked. Like, 9:50. You know, people pick up on what they want to pick up. That is hilarious.
I just can't believe she's telling you how to run your life and be a mother, and not even telling. She's basically saying that you're not a good mother because there's no way you sew anything for your son, and there's no way. You know, she's telling us how she's going to be a mother, yet.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just
everybody has an opinion. And God forbid we're judged on our parenting skills by the way we sew, because I would never make it. But if people must know, I actually just ended up getting this, like, fabric paint and got a white. I did just go and get a white T-shirt, but I had to color in these Dalmatian spots. And it seems, like, simple enough, but I had to go through with this tiny tip and fill in every single little spot, and then I put in a big spot with his, like, name in the back of it. And I like to think the shirt was a big success, and it was, like, a really cute little costumey thing for his 101st day of school. But,
yeah,
you know, it might not have been elaborate enough for Jennifer.
Yeah, apparently not. My God, when I read that, I was like, you have got to be kidding me. Why did you just spend 4 or 5 paragraphs absolutely annihilating a woman that you've never met, and you're commenting on her mothering skills? I mean, it just was.
Oh, yeah, and that's the thing is, I keep my son pretty protected. I don't flaunt him. I don't bring him out and, like, have him snap my paparazzi. It's not like I'm using him for anything. But, God, people love to just tear me apart, including my mothering, which is, you know, I'm a human being, and I have feelings, and like it or not, you know, whatever you think of the show, I do have a child to raise, and I'm doing the best that I can, and he is my priority. So, you know, I would like people to kind of back off that.
Okay. Yeah. No, I, totally understandable. And you know, just wrapping some stuff up here. You know, since the show has ended, obviously you've gotten a lot of media attention, and you know, people question your motives. You know, did you go on the show to promote your modeling career? And it has basically all this ended up benefiting you in the end? And this was like your plan from the beginning?
No, it definitely wasn't. And the truth is, years ago, I had been approached to do TV work and didn't do it because, you know, Aiden was really young and it wasn't the right time in my life. And then modeling, I don't know that that gets too benefited by doing The Bachelor. I really just got out of a bad breakup and thought, you know what, this sounds fun. I'm going to do this. And I really had no idea what would come of it.
Yeah.
No idea. I really, and nobody, aside from Melissa Rycroft, people have not gotten any really great gigs that I'm going on The Bachelor.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like I'm going on American Idol where I've got some talent that I'm trying to show the world. I mean, it's just for fun.
Yeah.
And so, no, I really had no idea that it would blow up like this.
So,
and it has not benefited me. I mean, maybe it will, you know, maybe stuff will happen with TV and something good will come of it. I mean, I certainly hope so, but I didn't do it expecting that.
You know, I mean, so you were not paid at all by ABC, Warner Horizon, Next Entertainment to participate in this whole fiasco we've seen play out over the last 2 months.
No, never. Not for the Women Tell All, not for the show, nothing. They do, I mean, obviously they will pay you if you are the Bachelor or Bachelorette.
Yeah.
That, I think, is a decent paying gig. But no, you do not get paid to be, as far as I know, I wasn't get paid to be a participant.
We brought it up earlier, so let's kind of bring it out in the forefront. E! News reported today that while you were in L.A. on Tuesday to film The Insider, you were auditioning for some work on there. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, you know, I didn't know that they were going to put that up, but since it's out there, yeah, I did sort of a general audition for them. There have been some other networks that have asked me to work for them, and I feel like E! Is a great mesh because they report the news and, you know, they sometimes take themselves seriously, but overall, like, they can make fun of themselves, and it's a very lighthearted network, and that's how I am. Like, I can make fun of myself very easily. I mean, you have to just have fun with life. That's the thing is, you know, no matter what comes and tries to knock you down, you just got to pick yourself up and laugh. And I feel like that's a great network to do that on. I feel, you know, with all their, either like Soup and Chelsea Lately, and it cracks me up. I think it's a great fit, and I really hope that that works out.
Well, now that you just said that, I can already see the wheels spinning in people's head like, oh, she doesn't have a TV. How does she know that there's, you know, The Soup and Chelsea Lately?
Oh, The Soup has been around forever. Are you
kidding
me? And I do, you know, I go online and we'll look at clips from shows, which is much more time efficient, cut through commercials and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course I have friends that have TV.
Yeah.
And there are lots of times where I don't have Aiden when he's with his dad. So, I mean, I have girls' nights. We go have wine and watch trashy TV, just like everybody else.
Yeah. You know, my take on this whole thing and is that I get the sense that you went on the show with the intention that every person who's ever gone on this show has gone in with, and that's, look, this is a unique experience. I'm going to have fun. I'll meet some friends. If something romantic comes out of it, great. But no one in their right mind goes on The Bachelor or The Bachelorette thinking, I'm going to be the final one. I'm going to be the one that he marries. You can't go on that with that mentality. You go on for the experience, what the possibility could be. The fact that the media outlets are approaching you and, you know, you're being offered things and asked to audition and stuff like that, that means you're in demand from people who want you. You'd be stupid not to listen to what they have to say. I don't get why people are really even having a problem with it because, you know, plenty of other women in the show's history have gotten presented opportunities for the sole reason that they appeared on this show. You know it going in, yet in your case, for whatever reason, you've been cast as, you know, this fame whore who's only been out to do all this. I mean, you've got a 7-year-old son. Last time I checked, You are not packing up and moving to L.A. when he's still got a father in Virginia. You can't move to L.A., I don't think.
No, I don't have any intention to. I think the most ironic thing about this is that it's Chris Harrison that says she's just looking for her 15-minute thing. This is not coming from the Dalai Lama, okay? This is coming from somebody that's on TV that himself was looking for fame and is the host of The Bachelor.
Yeah.
I mean, settle down.
Yeah, I mean,
it's so silly. And I don't think there's anything wrong with having aspirations or taking advantage of an opportunity for success. I mean, would people be happier if I went and worked at Starbucks? Like, I feel like there's no way to appease people. You know?
I mean, E comes to you and whoever comes to you, some tabloid show says, hey, we really want to capitalize on this. I mean, let's face it. And I'm not throwing you in the same boat as her, but Tiger Woods' most famous mistress, Rachel Yucatel, is now a correspondent, or at least I saw her do a correspondent piece on Extra TV with Mario Lopez. Rachel Yucatel, nobody knows who the hell this woman was until she admitted, I had sex with a married man. The only reason Rachel Yucatel is a correspondent on Extra is because she slept with Tiger Woods. So, you know, if the opportunity presents itself and they want to come after you, like I said, you'd be dumb not to listen. I mean, I don't see what is wrong with, hey, I was on this show, they're interested in me. Sure, I'll listen to what they have to say. But to say like you went in with this was a master plan to be on TV, like I said, you're not moving to LA. You've got a son that you can't take away from his father. I mean, it's just it's asinine.
Absolutely.
You know? It's
it's like I will do the best I can with what I can do, and I want to be successful. I want to be able to support my son. I want to be able to take him to Disneyland. That's a really hard thing for a single mom to do.
Yeah.
It just is. It's not easy. This economy sucks. If I can find a way to be successful and be able to continue to come to all my son's events and spend time with him, like, I don't know how anybody can fault me for taking that opportunity. I don't think there's anything bad about that.
No. And like I said, a lot of people go on this show. I mean, there's not a single girl this season in your cast that went on, and maybe except Psycho Michelle, but I think everyone goes on with the same intention, like, and that's why people are so upset at you. Like, you were there to find Jake. You shouldn't even have been flirting with anybody else. Look, it's a fun experience. You go on. Every single person that's ever been cast on this show has told me, look, I just went on it because it was fun. You know, I thought it would be cool. And of course, there's a little bit of hey, I'm going to be on TV. I can show my kids someday. It'll be fun to talk about. And then if you get probably deep into the show, if you get to the final three or four, yeah, your feelings for somebody will be a little bit deeper than, you go home on the first night or second night or even the third night. You know, yeah, you'll get a little more emotionally invested in the show, but nobody goes into it thinking, man, I am going to fall in love on this show. I know it. I just know it's going to happen. You go on.
Right.
You go on for fun. If something happens, great. But you know by going on, opportunities are going to present itself, especially if you go deep into the show or you have some sort of impact where people are talking about you. And obviously that happened in your situation. But just for people to think that everyone goes on this show to find love is a joke.
I mean, and you can do that locally. Your friend to fix you up. You go on Match.com. You don't go on national television because you're like, oh, I really just can't find a date in my hometown. You go on for the experience. And I think that it's crazy for anybody to think that I should have gone on that show and been like, I am here with the sole goal of marrying whoever the bachelor is.
Yeah.
It's crazy. That's what crazy people do.
Yeah.
Sorry if that offends anybody, but
But the thing is, you saying it, Rosalind, you're speaking up for everybody else. It's just that we're talking to you right now and it's coming out of your mouth. If you ask any of these other girls off camera or off record or even on record, maybe some of them will admit it, every single one of them, Allie, Vienna, Gia, they all go on it with the experience in mind and with an open mind to, hey, maybe something will happen. But if not, I'm sure it'll be fun and I'll make some friends. And that's what the show comes down to. It's not these people that get so wrapped up. I just don't get it. One thing I want to apologize for is the fact that I didn't even get to watch The Insider. I didn't see your appearance this week on Tuesday and maybe Wednesday, I guess. But so they had a body language expert on there, and the body language expert said, "You're lying." You know, what was that all about?
It was funny because she said, "Like, you know, I watched the Women Tell All, and from that, you know, I can tell that she's very defensive and lying." And then the host was like, "Okay, well, so was she lying today when she said the same exact thing?" And she was like, "No." He said, "Well, she said the same exact thing. So how can she be lying then and not lying now when it's the same thing?" And it was just, it's kind of one of those little silly things that shows do. And
yeah, that's like, I mean,
people have to know that that's ridiculous.
Body language experts, handwriting experts. I mean, come on. I mean, this stuff is...
Oh, yeah.
It's for show. I mean, next thing you're going to tell me is she's going to start reading tarot cards about you and putting, you know, rocks in your hand and flipping over cards and stuff like that. I mean, it's just like...
Well, according to my thumbprint, I'm a serial killer. So,
oh, really? Oh, that's impressive.
Yeah. No, I made that up, actually. Oh. But, I mean, it's that ridiculous.
You know, so it's just, I didn't see it, but I heard, like, because people were even emailing me, and I wanted to cover every question that people had was... Steve, well, the insider said her body language said she was lying. I'm like, really? Now we're going by body language experts? That's because a body language expert on the insider told Rosalind she was lying, that means we have to take it? I mean, we're at an hour and 50.
Keep in mind, she contradicted herself. You know what I mean? Like, one day I was, you know, lying, and the next I was saying the same exact thing and not lying. So it's, you know, people, it's silly.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're an hour and 50 minutes into this interview, and it's coming to a halt right now. But, you know, I think this hour and 50 minutes has shown everybody, at least I've gotten a good impression. And, you know, I've been backing you all season, as you've read on my blog.
I do appreciate that.
No, and
a lot of respect for that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I have my sources that came to me at the beginning of the season that just said, look, she is going to get railroaded. You watch. Here's what happened. And that person that told me had no reason to lie to me about this. So that's why I've been backing you, and I've been giving people specific examples when they tell me, oh, what about this? And what about this? And I said, well, here's this. And then, you know, I tried to basically go over all that tonight with you. And I think, you know, of course, I've taken a bunch of heat and a bunch of criticism.
I'm sure you have.
For, you know, for the ass kissing and all this stuff. But, you know, whatever. I know that comes with the territory. The minute I back anybody, you know, I'm going to be called an ass kisser. But the bottom line is, you know, I found out a lot about your story back at the very beginning of the season from my sources. I really never wavered from it since then. And I'm glad that you took the time out, you know, to get into more detail tonight regarding everything that happened. And it pretty much solidified everything I had thought about you, you know, going in. You're a single mother, someone whose number one priority is obviously her son, and you just didn't come across as someone willing to make an ass of yourself and your family on national television. And I'm truly sorry that this all happened to you. The latest scandal, too, I'm sorry that that's popped up, and I really do wish you all the best in the future. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you so much. And I do want to say that, like, I had made the decision not to do any more interviews about this. I didn't want to talk about it anymore. And then when I had heard that you wanted to do an interview, I didn't want to miss that opportunity. And I hope that I don't end up having to talk about this again. And I really do hope that I've answered all your questions and your readers' questions. And, you know, as you've learned, you know, you've been doing this for a long time and you're very successful, but you can't please everyone. And I've kind of had to grow this thick skin and realize that I can't please anyone. And, I mean, not anyone, maybe not anyone. I can't please everyone.
Hey now. that sounds like a personal problem, Rosalind.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. But, you know, you can't. And I hope that people see me as a human being and accept this as just entertainment. And the show is just entertainment and realize that, you know, not everything you see is true. Most things that you see on TV aren't true. And just to take it with a grain of salt. So, but I really appreciate you having me. It's been really great finally talking to you.
It's been great talking to you, and I appreciate the fact that you have made this your last interview. I'm glad it was very detailed, and like I said, I wish you all the best in the future, and let's keep in touch.
All Okay, thank you, Steve.
You got it, Rosalind. Thank you.
All right. Okay.
Bye.